freely available and accessible to the public and is generously supported by OPB's 115,000 contributors, making OPB one of the most used and most supported public broadcasting services in the country. We are on the air 24 hours a day, every day. Importantly, OPB has been designated the state primary for the emergency alert system. OPB receives and initiates messages from both state and federal officials informing other broadcasters and the residents of Oregon and Southwest Washington of a wide variety of emergencies, including tsunamis, floods, earthquakes, national emergencies, and Amber Alerts. The Portland Bureau of Emergency Management recently signed an agreement with OPB whereby OPB will broadcast emergency alert messages directly from the mayor during a major emergency. All of this is accomplished at OPB's headquarters on McAdam Avenue, which is directly adjacent to Willamette Park, where the new Fulton Pump Station will be built. As you saw, I was really glad, actually, they had the satellite images. That was helpful. As you saw, this is directly, the construction will directly affect our property. The Water Bureau will be tunneling under our main driveway to replace the major pipelines. Nevada Street has also been designated by the Water Bureau's project team as the primary construction entrance for the pump project. Their proposed access road also functions as the only entrance to OPB's parking lots and the only way that emergency vehicles can access OPB's building. The proposed access road will run also within feet of our satellite dishes through which we receive all of our national PBS and NPR programming feeds. Our primary concerns regarding the project are set forth in the proposed amendment, which I believe you should have a copy of. Potential disruption of pedestrian and vehicular access, interference with satellite signals, vibration damage to transmission and other equipment, and damage to existing fiber, employee safety issues, et cetera. The Water Bureau has been very cooperative about working with us to address these issues. The changes we propose to the ordinance you have before you serve merely to identify these issues and to ensure that the Water Bureau has the authority to properly address them during the easement negotiations. It's our belief that addressing these concerns in this easement will protect both OPB and the city by identifying the places where liability could arise and describing negotiated and enforceable solutions for allocating the identified risks between the parties. So we're looking to get this language in as a way of protecting both the city and OPB. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yes.
Is it Ms. Morris?
Yes, thank you.
So discussions, I mean, there's some pretty serious things here if we disrupt or have vibration impacts or whatever on satellite dishes, other things. But, I mean, this has been under discussion with OPB for over a year, I think it was said. So these issues have been identified, I presume, and addressed.
The issues you're raising must have been discussed
between OPB and the Water Bureau.
Yes, and we would like to be able to address those issues, identify them further in the easement so that there is an enforceable way of making sure that the Water Bureau's promises to OPB actually follow through and that the city is, so that similarly, the city does not want OPB to randomly raise another issue. This would be a way of
corralling them. The universe of issues are identified in your proposal.
Exactly. We're just trying to identify the universe of issues and to protect each side.
I would move the amendment.
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
We have some questions.
But it's in the findings rather than in the now therefore be it resolved. So why do you think it's important? It just gives background. It doesn't tell the. And I'd like to hear from David Schaff as well. Why do you think it shouldn't be in here?
Or Terry.
So why do you think this is important to have in here? Because it doesn't direct the Water Bureau to do anything.
It does not. But it puts everyone on notice. That's really. We don't oppose this project. We have been very pleased with the project team's coordination with us. We are not, planning any opposition or any stonewalling. We just want to make sure that everyone is on notice as to what the issues are and that we continue the positive relationship and the positive negotiations that have happened to date. And by putting it sort of in the history of how we got to this place, I think that is helpful.
That was my understanding from the financial impact statement and the public involvement statement that it was crafted there, but I'd like to hear from the Water Bureau as to why they don't want it in there. But thank you for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And your partnership.
Mr. Fish?
Mayor, I've been briefed by the city attorney's office on this, and it is the preferred route of our attorneys that we simply acknowledge the concerns raised by the testifier, which are now actually part of the legislative history. They've been placed in the record. But we have before us simply a clean request for authorization for eminent domain and a companion representation by Director Schaff that he will discuss and seek to work out these issues. So it is the city attorney's office position that we simply vote on the underlying ordinance.
I understand that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So did you need Mr. Thatcher
would like
to come
hear
up?
From the water bearers to
and Terry, could
what's
you come
the harm
up as well?
Of putting this in?
I'm Terrence Thatcher, Deputy City Attorney, and I apologize for the informality of my dress. I don't mean to insult you.
This is Portland, you know. You never know what we'll see.
We're overdressed.
I know. I'm supposed to wear gray or blue. There are two reasons we think this shouldn't be in the ordinance. First, as Administrator Schaff explained, the issues that they're asking you to put in the ordinance really have nothing to do with the acquisition of this easement. They have to do with the Water Bureau's use of a public street and OPB's concern about what might happen when the Water Bureau uses that public street. So to begin with, they are irrelevant to the issue before you. And second, if I may be so bold, it's clear that OPB has good lawyers. And they've just had you, if you adopt this, they've just had you put into your ordinance their opening brief if we end up in condemnation. You have now said to them, we think these are all the problems that you have, and we are essentially acknowledging their view of the facts. Frankly, if we end up in litigation, I expect there will be disagreements about the facts. And to be blunt about it, I'm trying to be a good lawyer for you, as well as she's trying to be a good lawyer, Ms. Morris is trying to be a good lawyer for OPP. And I have to discourage you from, we hope we won't litigate, but I have to discourage you from putting into your ordinances things that come from the lawyers from a potential litigation opponent. It's simply going to make our life harder if you do so. It's irrelevant, and it is potentially harmful. I think you can trust the Water Bureau to have these discussions. They've been talking to them. But we're really talking about what happens on a public street, not what the easement is. So I think we should just move forward on the project. With all due respect to Commissioner Saltzman's motion, I would discourage the passage of it. But it's your choice, not mine. I'm merely giving you the best advice I can.
Okay. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.
Commissioner, do you still want to proceed with your motion?
With all due respect to Ms. Morris and OPB, I stand sufficiently intimidated by our city attorney's comments and will not make the motion.
Thank you. Thank you. Any further questions for staff? If not, this passes to second reading. Thank you. And I think we have two matters. One more?
We pulled 344. And
yes, two more. Sorry, two more items that were pulled from consent.
343. Authorized city attorney to appeal, the judgment in Gallagher Smith v. City of Portland, Multnomah County Circuit Court, number 110-13098.
Okay, city attorney's here. You want to give us a brief explanation of this? Brief, since we're in grave danger of losing a quorum.
Mayor, council members, good morning. Jim Van Dyke, City Attorney's Office. Item 343 is a proposed resolution authorizing the City Attorney's Office to file a notice of appeal in the case of Gallagher Smith versus City of Portland. The purpose of our appeal in this case is to clarify the use of a city code provision to determine a police officer's authority to control the sidewalk when disturbances occur when they are trying to maintain order. The court found that the officer's orders were not lawful, and therefore the officers did not have probable cause to arrest Mr. Smith when he refused to follow that order. police officers need to know what they can and cannot do, and we believe that the appeal would help us understand that. I mean, first of all, we think we're right and that the officers did have the lawful authority to direct Mr. Smith in the manner that they did in the circumstances then and there existing. However, if we're wrong, we need some guidance so that police officers will know what they can do or what circumstances would allow them to direct people in such circumstances.
Okay, thanks. Questions?
So we're not appealing the monetary damages.
Well, if the
monetary damages would have resulted from the claimed excessive use of force rather than from the whether the order was lawful or not.
We believe the entire case would be reversed if we're correct, because we think the jury was very influenced when the judge told the jury that the officers did not have probable cause to arrest Mr. Smith. And we believe, contrary to opposing counsel's belief, that the entire case would be reversed and remanded for a trial on everything, including the battery claim, if we're successful.
And if we're not successful, it would take about how long? Well, regardless, how long will it take to take this to a higher court?
A year to a year and a half.
And the interest that would accrue on the damages would be payable if we lose?
Yes.
And that's about $55,000.
That is correct.
So even if we prevail on the lawful piece, we might still have to pay the damages.
I suppose there is an outside chance of that, but we do not believe that's what would occur.
So could the higher court rule on the lawfulness of the order and not reverse the damages?
I'm sure that's what Mr. Smith's attorneys will argue, but we believe, and I have consulted with our appellate attorneys, that that would not be the case.
So what do you believe is the broad authority for officers to tell citizens to move from a part of the sidewalk outside of the cases where the code specifically says, for instance, the sidewalk management, sidewalk obstructions ordinance and the drug-free zones, where we have very clearly given the police that authority?
Well, I believe the police have broad authority when they have a legitimate reason to ask people to move along the sidewalk. I don't think I can cite every single example, because there would be many in which they would have that broad authority. They certainly don't have authority to abuse. They can't abuse that authority. They can't tell people to move along because they don't like their politics or their race or their religion or things like that, but they can certainly do so when there are disturbances in order to keep the public safe.
Other questions for Jim?
Thank you. Okay, what exactly, so they were there on the grounds that they were told that he was creating a disturbance?
Yes.
And so that's what would give them the authority to tell him to move?
Yes.
Just from reading the news account of this incident, I mean, there was a lot that went on beyond their simply telling him to move and he wouldn't move. I mean, would we be arguing that his failure to move justified the rest of the police conduct?
The failure to move would justify the arrest for trespass. There is a separate question, of course, whether what followed that, which is there was a claim of battery that the police used excessive force. We believe the jury's view on that matter was excessively colored by the judge's direction to the jury that the police didn't have the right to arrest him in the first place. So we think that the jury basically said, well, you shouldn't have arrested him in the first place, and you're buying everything that happened after that.
And so what was the judge's reason for that conclusion?
Well, we believe the judge misunderstood the police officer's authority under the city code and did not believe, according to the transcript, that the police officer's direction to have him move along was lawful. That's where we disagree with the judge.
So we wouldn't be trying to uphold a broad proposition that the police in every case, in any case have the authority to tell somebody to move, leave the sidewalk?
No, absolutely not. We are not going to be taking that position at all. Only in the circumstances involved in this case where I've summarized it as a disturbance, but, you know, the facts of the case make a difference in all these cases, and we think the facts of this case justify the police's order.
That you're proposing that it's a trespass violation that the police are enforcing here, and that they were asking the plaintiff to move from a particular part of the sidewalk to another particular, to a different block face. He had already moved from in front of the building, but the thrust of the argument is that because, that I, as I understood it, is because the owner of the nightclub asked for the person to be moved from in front of their sidewalk of their building, that that was one of the basis for the police's action, and that the police have been delegated by the council to be the owners of the public right-of-way.
The police have been delegated by the council with that authority, correct. They must use that authority correctly. We think they did in this particular person. Under state law, you commit trespass if you've been told to leave premises that you don't have a right to be on, and then you refuse to do so. Premises includes the sidewalk in this particular case. So what the police were really trying to do here in the first instance was to resolve a safety problem at a very low level before things escalated.
But the court in several instances have told us that we don't have that authority, both in the previous sit-lie ordinances and in this case. Judge Yu was very clear that she and other judges don't agree with us on that.
That is correct. Judge Yu did not agree with us in this case, and that's why we are appealing that, because that's why you appeal, because you think the judge got it wrong. We think sit lie is a completely different circumstance than this particular case.
Further questions for Jim? Okay, thank you. Public testimony?
We have four people signed up.
Okay.
Are Joe Walsh, Kathy Bushman, Charles Johnson, and Chris Herring.
Who would like to go first?
Actually, you're signed up first. Joe, go ahead.
My name is Joe Walsh, and I definitely represent Individuals for Justice on this case. And I'm going to go off script. You have some written stuff that you can either read or put it in the W file for waste or whatever you do with it. I'm at a disadvantage up here because I have two lawyers sitting on his counsel, I think. You're still a lawyer. You're still a lawyer. This was not a judge's trial. This was a jury trial. The jury went back into the room, took all the
You might have overloaded the system. Just stay a little farther away from the microphone.
I do that. This was a jury trial. They went back into the office, into their room, and they took all the evidence that you were just battering around. And they said the cops were wrong. $300,000 wrong. This man was electrocuted. He was maced. He was shackled, and he was beaten. And the original reason he went out that night was to celebrate. He went to a nightclub. He was stamped. They wouldn't let him back in. That's the origin of the argument. This city attorney is lying to you. It's not a judge's decision. It was a jury. And for a jury to go against police officers, it's very difficult, I know. Because they want to protect them. They beat this guy so badly, he's still suffering after a couple of years. You sat on this case for 4 months after the jury trial, and now you want to appeal it for another $100,000? Those kids that you had here today, when they find out that this money is all the same, you cut their programs and you protect the cop's ass or the city attorney for blowing a case. I don't care. Give the man the money, apologize, and move on.
Well, I think it was very appropriate that the kids were here today from the son's school, because to me, we've seen it happen year after year that the city has to pay out thousands of dollars to cover it because of abuse of the police authority. And this happens, and this is not the first time, and I'm sure it won't be the last. We have sometimes seen that the city council and the mayor have attempted to hold the police department accountable. We would like to see the time when they can hold the police, actually hold the police accountable, but now it looks like you're trying to get the police off the hook. I don't think that's an appropriate way to spend our money. Many of us Portlanders think that money is better spent for schools and not jails, and it's, we'll probably save money on policing to spend more money on schools, and certainly not to reward our police department for failure by you giving them their usual generous funding, even after repeated failures from our point of view. Every year the police department is... It happens that they're usually well-funded. I would like to see that stop. I don't want to see them rewarded for failure.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Chris Henry, and I've run a couple of times for David Wu's position. That was in 08 and 2010, and I just finished running for Attorney General of Oregon, and I am a Teamster. And I find it interesting that we're ordering people away from a business that the person had already left. He had already left the premises, and he was already in transit walking away from the building when the police approached him. Now, as a Teamster, if I picket, if I protest, and the company ejects me out onto the sidewalk, at what point does that become the public sidewalk? And it's no longer part of the company's established realm where they have authority. And what we're discussing is the police authority. And what authority did they have to question his rights, Smith's, Gallagher Smith's, to be on the public sidewalk, on the public right-of-way. At first, what the city attorney had said was that they do, Amanda asked the question, when do they have the authority? Well, the city attorney says, well, they need to maintain order. Well, was there disorder? Where was the public disorder that was happening that required a dog pile of six cops on top of Mr. Smith? And you can see the size of him. So they dogpile on top of him. They shoot him a couple of times with tasers. One doesn't take. The other one, in this article, hits the target. How many of us would like to be hit by the target for just asking a question? By what authority do you have to tell me to get off of the public sidewalk and to move? He asked a simple question. So, did that mean I have 1 minute, or
no?
You raised your finger.
No, sorry, that didn't mean anything. It meant my cheek itched.
So, I find this interesting, and it's kind of dear to my heart, because we've got May Day coming up in less than, half a month. And the whole concept around May Day was workers and people who are on the public right of way were bashed by cops way back when, and it still continues to go on. Whether it's one person or whether it's an entire union or whether it's protesters, we have the right to access our public sidewalks, our public streets, and the cops are given broad authority according to according to the city attorney. But I would argue there was no disturbance.
I do need you to wrap up because that beep was your time. So
there was no disturbance. The disturbance happened inside the establishment. There didn't seem to appear to be a disturbance outside. And if we follow up on this case, I argue that it's going to cost the city more money, substantially more, to oppose a case that's going to draw out and cost the city more funds.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Hi.
Good noon, exactly, council members. I just need to echo the things. You're probably surprised that my name's Charles Johnson, and you're probably surprised that Dan Handelman couldn't make it to speak on this issue also from Copwatch. One related issue is you're making expensive misuse of police power. I was in Old Town Chinatown the other day, and I observed you paying uniformed sergeants and officers to put out no parking signs for the nightclubs. That is why relates to why you should not authorize paying for an appeal in this issue. We have 12 citizens of Multnomah County who, in conjunction with a judge of Multnomah County, recognized misconduct by the police. Now your city attorney is asking you to go to Vegas. He has not spoken publicly about the statistics for appeal. He has a good vibe. You could follow his intuition. You might pay. I don't know if the Mr. Gallagher Smith's attorney is precluded from speaking, but he or she will get paid and will probably get paid more. That's why they're here not telling you to do it, because you're voting to put more money into the legal system and to go to lawyers, and that's not what you want to do. You want to cut your losses and not appeal this case, not say that it's okay for police to brutalize citizens, not look for greater police powers on behalf of nightclub owners. If you want to protect individuals' properties in their homes, that is what the police is for. The police are not team two for the nightclub bouncers. So I hope you will quickly think about this decision. Actually, you don't need to think about anything, because if you don't authorize the appeal, it can't happen. So you could table the motion, you could have a special investigatory panel, but you should not pass this issue. So during these budget cuts, you do not want to be giving more money to appellate attorneys. You want to cut your losses, make the settlement, have the money, respect the wishes of the jurors and the judges, and get this over with, done. Pay the poor guy. We all know he suffered injuries. We're looking for a little loophole technicality to pay some appeals attorneys. And actually, you will disgust me if you pass this without specifically saying who the city's appeals attorneys will be and how much money you're going to pay them. I don't think you should go forward until that's disclosed to the public. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, yeah, anyone else signed up to testify? And then, Jim, could you come back up, please? So maybe you can clarify the key issue for us in this case is, I believe, the city code.
That is correct.
Can you describe why that's important, sort of, and why it's somewhat separate from the particulars of this case?
Well, the city code gives officers in the police bureau the right to direct pedestrian and vehicular traffic on a public right-of-way. You've got to be able to use that for a legitimate reason, obviously. But the importance in this particular case is we need to give clarity to police officers to know when they can exercise that authority.
Kim, you're before us today because your deadline for filing a notice of appeal is when?
I believe it is April 24th or the 26th.
And what you're seeking is authority to file a notice of appeal, and then there's other steps along the way in turning.
That's correct.
Your appeal.
All this authorizes us to do is to file the notice of appeal, which we must do within a certain period of time. If we file that notice of appeal and later take a look at the transcript or the case and thinks it doesn't warrant the appeal, we would come back and talk to you about that.
Is there a motion?
I just have a comment or a question. You just said that the code gives authority for officers to direct traffic on the right-of-way, and what we're asking the court to do is to define the parameters. But the resolution also says that risk management, the Portland Police Bureau, desire that the city appeal the judgment in order to vindicate the authority of the police to maintain order, particularly in the downtown entertainment district. We don't currently have code that specifically addresses what behavior is expected in the entertainment district, correct?
That is correct.
So I'm not clear as to why we would ask the court to set those standards rather than us having that conversation in advance.
I'm sorry that the resolution was maybe a little bit inartful. The entertainment district is where this comes up quite a bit, but it's our general authority, and the rules would apply inside or outside of the entertainment district about the police's authority.
We don't have specifics on how they can direct traffic or what their authority is. So we've crafted those regulations in the sidewalk obstructions law and in the drug-free zones and in the camping ordinance. Why would we not take the first crack at that rather than risking $55,000 plus in interest on this particular case?
Because I believe that even if we clarified those regulations, it would not resolve the question that has been posed by this case that we need help resolving.
Any further questions for Jim?
Yeah, Jim, just one, and this will demonstrate my spectacular ignorance of criminal law. I mean, would it be possible to, just theoretically possible, to settle a case by, you know, vacating the judgment but still paying the amount of the judgment? I mean, if what you're concerned about is the precedent of the judge's decision, is that something that would be theoretically possible?
I don't know the answer to that about whether it'd be possible to vacate the judgment. I think at this point the judgment's been entered.
And is there like a written judge? I mean, in terms of the precedential effect, did the judge enter a written statement that the police do not have authority to direct traffic on the sidewalk or something like
there
that?
There was no written opinion issued by the trial courts. The trial courts typically don't issue a written opinion in cases like this. So we're looking at the transcript and how she interpreted that in this particular case.
Can I follow up on your question, Steve? Does our action today in authorizing you to file a notice of appeal preclude us from evaluating the concept that Steve has floated to you?
No, not at all.
I understand what you want us to do today is to preserve our right to appeal, to get some appellate. By the way, either side has the right to appeal, and in this case, there's a legal issue. Whether you agree or disagree, that
no more.
Juries don't decide legal issues; they decide questions of fact. Our attorneys are saying there's a legal issue, but if we say give you that authority, it does not preclude us coming back and exploring Steve's option.
Oh, that is correct. Okay.
Actually, colleagues, the resolution says that the city attorney is authorized to appeal the judgment and pursue it to its conclusion. And I hate to throw a wrench into the monkey.
Why don't you offer a friendly amendment?
Yes. I mean, could I offer an amendment to say that the city attorney is authorized to file a notice of appeal on the judgment in Gallagher v. Smith and delete the rest of it for the moment?
Mayor, I think that's an artful compromise at this hour.
Any disagreement with that amendment? I'll accept it with consensus if it's okay. Or do you want to vote on it? Okay, motion to amend.
You're certainly able to accept this as an amendment.
I'll accept it as a friendly amendment. Okay, so that we will authorize.
We can't speak on the amendment.
No, no more. No more.
Point of order.
No more.
Point of order.
No, you don't get to make points of order. So
can
I'm going to take.
Can we speak on the amendment?
You know you don't get to speak on the amendment.
Where, so, what country is this?
This is Portland, and we're done. So
if you change it, we should speak.
We've had a hearing. I'm sorry.
So take the vote.
Do we need a motion on the resolution?
You've accepted it as a friendly amendment.
Yes, and now we need a motion on the resolution.
Well, it's just
It's on the docket. So roll call on the resolution as amended.
Fish?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
I don't want the court making the decision on this matter. I think the council should have a discussion in a work session on what we might want to do regarding laws governing downtown sidewalks instead of pursuing this appeal. The appeal seems to be saying that officers have the right to order anyone off any sidewalk for practically any reason or none. And we have crafted particular rules for when we, the council, give our officers that authority. and we haven't given blanket appeal approval. I believe we won't win this appeal and that it's costly to the city in more ways than just money, because the principle the appeal seeks to secure is not one that I believe is in the best interests of Portlanders, particularly for the entertainment district, which, as Judge Yu notes, is especially difficult to manage because so many citizens are drunk. The council, rather than the court, should set clear expectations for code for police and citizen behavior, both on the sidewalks and on the closed streets, and we should do this instead of appealing the Smith case. No.
Hales.
No, no more, please. I'm open to new code. I'm open to negotiations. But in the meantime, I'm prepared to authorize our city attorney to file notice of right to appeal and, frankly, to carry it forward, because there's a timetable for this and we need to meet it. Aye. And we have one more item left from this morning.
344, pay claim of Lisa Vasquez in the sum of $87,500 involving Office of Management and Finance.
Mr. Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. I pulled this item because I have a number of concerns about this claim and about the proposal before us. And I just would like to state my concerns for the record, and then based on follow-up discussions I've had with our team, I'm prepared to vote for it reluctantly. But I wanted to just highlight what I think is a structural problem. And on a number of occasions, I've expressed concerns that human resources, risk management, and the city attorney's office need to be better aligned and coordinated with each other, especially in the handling of claims and legal actions involving city employees, and especially upstream when these decisions are made. I believe that early and more robust risk assessments will help us prevent many of these claims from arising in the first instance and could serve to limit the amount of money we pay out in settlements. And I received a confidential briefing on this matter from the city attorney, and frankly, I was discouraged by what I heard.
Now, no more, please.
Now, I understand that hindsight's 20/20, but based on the information that I received, I think this situation could have been prevented. I believe it's time for us to stop doing business as usual and start deconstructing these cases to figure out what went wrong and how we can avoid similar outcomes in the future. I'm reluctant to vote in favor of this settlement because I think it was preventable. On the other hand, this is not the first nor the last case of its kind, and I also know that the mayor has a commitment to us looking at this issue holistically and seeing if we can improve the whole way our system works, which frankly I think operates in too many silos and not in a way that's coordinated enough. The city attorney has persuaded me that this settlement regrettably represents the best option in a thicket of poor choices, and therefore I will reluctantly support it.
Anyone signed up to testify on this one?
I did not have a sign-up sheet. It was pulled.
Okay. Roll call on the ordinance.
Does anybody want to testify? I didn't.
Sorry. Anyone want to testify? Okay. Roll call on the ordinance.
Fish.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Commissioner Fish, I share your concerns. The challenge with this particular case that even had the HR or the city attorney had input, I doubt that the commissioner in charge would have listened to them, because he didn't listen to me on this particular issue. And also, well, that may not be necessarily two things that follow each other, but also I am perturbed that the plaintiff or the person that we're paying to receives only $10,000 of this judgment and the rest goes in fees.
Will the gentle lady yield just on one point?
If the mayor allows that, yes.
Of course.
And I appreciate you placing that on the record, because as you know, I hope you know, in no way was this intended a criticism to you. And I also have concerns about putting significant restrictions on decision makers' ability to make certain judgments. I'm not even calling to question. We sometimes make the bad judgment. What I'm concerned about in this case is the information in the record which would have led someone to conclude that we were establishing a pattern of contradictory actions which could give rise to a claim. And I want to find a balance that honors the right of individual commissioners and bureau directors to make tough calls, but making sure they have all the available information to do a risk assessment, and I think on this one it was lacking. And this is not directed to my friend, Commissioner Friends.
Well, no, because I advised against firing, so I appreciate that clarification. It is a challenge of our commission form of government that commissioners who are in charge of a particular project get to do as they think best, and sometimes it comes back in the form of a judgment that, no, that wasn't the right choice. So that's something that we as a council might want to consider in terms of risk mitigation as to whether in some instances the mayor, despite our charter and our commission form of government, might have more influence in that, in some such situations. Aye.
Hales.
Excellent comments. This is the best bad choice we have for now. Aye.
And may I just make one more comment on that? I personally thought that Lisa Vasquez did a lot of good work for the city, and I appreciate her service.
Duly noted. Thanks very much, and we are adjourned.
Thank you, Stephen.
Hey, Joe.
Sure.
I'm glad you pulled.